Good morning. Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's been good for me to be here. I enjoyed the Sunday school class as well. One thought that stood out to me was the young man started out right. He went to Jesus, and he asked good question. And he heard what Jesus had to say, but then he made a choice. He chose to go away sorrowful. And I had to think about myself. What do I do when I hear, when I go to Jesus and ask him, do I listen? Do I make the choice to follow what he has to say? Or do I go away sorrowful? It's a challenge to me. Greet you in Jesus' name. And I wish my family could be here today. We had sickness this past week, and yeah, just couldn't see our way clear to bring everyone here. But I have four children. My oldest is 16 and the youngest is 7, and I brought my 11-year-old with me. We have three boys and one girl. I'd like to speak this morning on the power of prayer. And I had to think about this in relation to Sunday school. And how our riches maybe can hinder our prayer. They don't have to, but when we are hoarding riches to ourselves, maybe our prayer life is lacking, and it challenged me to: am I relying on God? Am I showing my dependence upon God by coming to Him in prayer and relying on Him for my strength? Think about God. Think about His power. And it's amazing, His power. Then you think about His humility. And God asks us to pray to Him. He has all the power in the world. He's omnipresent. He's all-powerful. Omnipresent, everywhere present. God needs nothing from us, but yet he wants us to come to Him in prayer. And that's amazing to me that God desires that from us. God could have made us without the need for prayer. He knows our needs, He knows our thoughts, He knows what we struggle with, He knows our words before we even say them. But yet God wants us to come to Him and to ask, to lay our requests before Him, to talk with Him. He desires that from us, and I love that about God, His humility and His desiring of us to come to Him in prayer. Maybe you feel like your prayer life is dry and stale, or maybe you feel like you say the same things over and over again. Your prayers don't get much higher than the ceiling. Or worse yet, we feel like it's a chore, an obligation we go through every day. I need to pray. I know I need to pray. We know it's the right thing to do. But how is your prayer life? Is it a chore? Is it an obligation that you go through? Or is it a communication with God, our Father? When our prayer life is lacking, then I believe that our faith will be lacking as well. Think about your faith. Do you believe what God has to say? Or is your prayer life lacking? I think that Satan knows that if our prayer, if he can keep us from praying, then he knows that he has control of us. I was trying to remember the little saying that if Satan can keep us from going to church, he smiles. If he can get us to hate our brother, he laughs. I can't quite remember how it all goes, but if he can keep us from going to him in prayer, he knows he won the battle. And I think that's very true. Satan knows our strength is in prayer. So this morning, I would just like to renew our zeal for prayer, my zeal for prayer, and to strive for a meaningful prayer life, to realize that there is power available. There is power in prayer, and when we pray from a true heart. A couple points here. Why do we pray? Why do you pray? Well, I believe, number one, it's because God wants to commune with us. Prayer is communication with God. And you think about Adam and Eve in the garden. I think I'll just read a verse there, Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. This was after the fall. And I don't think this was the first time that God came and talked with them. This was an ongoing, normal occurrence for them to walk with God in the cool of the day. It was a way to commune with God, a way to talk with him, to build relationship with him. And it was a daily part of their experience. But this day was different. Man was afraid. He was hiding from God. And he didn't want to communicate. He was afraid because of their sin. And that's what sin will do. Sin will do to us as well. It will block our communion with God until we repent. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with to him and will sup with him, and he with me." There's fellowship, there's communion back and forth with God through prayer. If we hear his voice, we open the door, let him in. God desires that communion. He wants a relationship with us, and that's what happens when we have prayer. Another reason that we pray is because it helps us grow closer to God. Turn to Psalm 145:18. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Very precious promise. The more you spend time talking with God, the closer he will become to you. The more we draw close to him, the more we know of him. And then God draws close to us as well. James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." There it gives instructions what we need to do to be able to draw nigh to God. We need to cleanse our hands, purify our hearts, so that we can draw nigh to God. You think about your, those of you that are married, think about your, when you were dating, you wanted to spend all that time, as much time as possible with your girlfriend or boyfriend to learn to know him better. And husband and wives, you to have a good relationship, you need to communicate with each other. You need to have an open relationship back and forth, talking and communicating. And that's how it is with God in our relationship with him. Prayer is a way to communicate, way to draw close to each other. To quote, "Prayer is simply talking to God like a friend and should be the easiest thing we do each day." Is that how it is? Is it the easiest thing you do each day? Or do you just spend 15 minutes in the morning, rush through it quickly? Or Is it a daily thing throughout your day? Lord, I need your help. Talk with him throughout your day as you face things, as you run up against problems that you go through, or maybe it doesn't have to be problems, but you can just communicate, talk to him like a friend. Why else do we pray? Because prayer allows God to work. Another quote I came across, when we work. But when we pray, God works. I like that. When we work, we just work. When we pray, that allows God to work. I like that. Have you seen God work through prayer? I'm sure you all have. Prayer really does work, and lives and hearts have been changed. I think about my life, people that have prayed for me. Many people talk about their mother praying for them and the difference it made for them. Prayer does work. Where would you be without the prayers of others? There's many accounts in the Bible where someone prayed and God worked, and their prayer was answered. Maybe you can, I'll just open it up. Can you think of any accounts, people in the Bible that they prayed and their prayer was answered?
Well, Hannah prayed.
Right. Hannah prayed for a son, and God worked. Okay, any more?
Paul prayed on that ship before the shipwreck, and everybody's lives were saved.
Yes, Paul prayed on the shipwreck, and prayer worked. It saved. Think about Jonah. He prayed in the whale's belly, and God saved him. Paul and Silas in prison, they sang and prayed, and God worked. Samson prayed at the end of his life. Esther prayed for her people. Many, many people, many, many accounts of people that have prayed, and God worked through that. Turn to Mark 1. Mark 1, verse 35 says, this is talking about Jesus. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus prayed. He gave us an example. And if Jesus needed to pray, how much more do we? Why else do we pray? Well, because there's power in prayer. I'll read some verses in James 5. James 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs, psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Prayer changes things. Do you believe that? Do you pray like you believe that? Sometimes I pray, I ask Lord to work in a situation, but I have my doubts. Is God really going to do that? But do I pray like I believe it? Do I have the prayer of faith? Yeah, we know God can do it, but do I believe it? It says here that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And how do we have effective, fervent prayers? Well, James gives us an example of a man that did this, Elijah. He was not superhuman. He was a man like just like we are, like passions, weaknesses, struggles, just like other men, but he prayed earnestly. I often wonder what that prayer was like. He prayed earnestly. I looked up the word earnestly, and it means sincere, intense conviction, seriously, not lightly, not casually, not flippantly, but firm belief, not doubt. Do I have that kind of prayer? Sincere, intense conviction, belief. And then fervent means having a passionate intensity, zealous, strong, sincere. Sincere feelings or beliefs. Enthusiasm. Am I enthusiastic in my prayer life? Or is it a drudgery? Devoted, undistracted. How earnest and fervent are my prayers? Am I sincere and serious? Am I passionate about God? Passionate about serving Him? Passionate about pleasing Him? Or do worldly pleasures or other entertainment take priority? Do my wants and desires align with God's word and His will? I believe the limiting factor in our prayers is most often the lack of earnestness, the fervency in my own heart toward God. Prayer is not a thermometer to measure the level of my faith, but it's a thermostat. I can adjust it. What level do I want with God? Turn the thermostat up to increase in prayer, to increase my communion with Him, my relationship. It's up to us what temperature we want to set the thermostat at. Speaking about power in prayer, there's a story about Gilbert. He was a missionary in Africa. One day he needed to go to town for supplies, and it was a road that he knew was treacherous, dangerous travel. There were bandits along the way, snakes. It was dangerous, and it was an overnight trip. It took a while to get there. But he knew the Lord could protect him, and so he set out on his journey. En route, Gilbert came to a village where two men were in a serious fight, and he got off his bike and went to try to calm them down, try to stop their fighting. And after a bit, he was successful in doing that. He got them calmed down. He got them at peace with one another for the time being, and went on his way, got his supplies, and then headed back home. And night had fallen, and Gilbert had stopped for the night, and he rolled out his mat and rigged up some netting to protect himself from mosquitoes, and went to sleep. Unknown to him, he had guests prowling around nearby in the night. But he had a good night of rest, and no one bothered him. And he didn't know anything about it, and went on his way in the morning. On his way back home, Gilbert met one of the men whom he had encountered with the day before in the fight, and the man approached him and said, "Who did you have with you that last night?" And Gilbert said, "No one. I was by myself. Went to bed." And the man said, "Yes, you did. There were 26 big, burly, armed men with fiery swords with you." And Gilbert said, "How do you know?" "Well, I followed you there. I was going to harm you for interrupting our fight the other day, and I was going to take care of it. But we couldn't. There was guards all around. And Gilbert was intensely thankful for the protection of, he figured it must have been angels protecting him. Well, months later, Gilbert went back home on furlough, and he gave a mission report at his congregation at church. And among other things, he told them of this episode and how he had been protected. And suddenly a man got to his feet, stood up, and interrupted Gilbert and said, "When it's your time, when it is time, when it's time for, let me start over here, when it's time to come off work here, it's midnight or so in Africa. One day I was ready to leave work when suddenly I had this great urgency to pray for you. I called some fellow believers and we came here to church to pray for your safety." And turning around, he went on, "Will the men who were with me please stand to your feet?" 25 more men stood to their feet, the 26 men that had protected him that night. It's amazing power in prayer. When you feel a need to pray for someone, don't hesitate. Do it. You never know what protection you are giving to them. A man that heeded the Spirit of God and was earnest in his prayer, he took action, and it made a difference. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, that was why we should pray. I'd like to think about how we should pray. There are many reasons to pray, ways to pray, or what we should pray for. And this is not a cut and dry list. I believe prayer should be spontaneous and a result of communication with God. It's not some checklist that you can follow, but I believe there's some helps that we can do. I would like to use the word pray as an acrostic. I'm sure if there's some markers here. First one I have. Praise and thanksgiving. And I'd like to read the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Jesus gave us an example of how to pray. He taught his disciples how to pray. Matthew 6, verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Verse 9, "Hallowed be thy name." That's where I got this praise and thanksgiving. I see reverence. I see adoration in that. Hallowed be your name. Praising glory, thanking God for what he has done for us, praising him for who he is. We were made to give praise and honor to God, and let's do that as when we pray. Thank him, praise him for saving us. Thank him for being our Father, for loving us. God is certainly worthy of our praise, our adoration. He created us. He created you. He loved us. He died for us. He redeemed us. And I think we need to tell him that when we pray. Lord, thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for making me. Praise the Lord for his character. Think about who he is and think about his names, Jehovah, what it means, God with us. Think about him being our Father, him loving us as a Father. Thank him for that. Praise him. Praise and thank him for safety. We travel many miles, and we take it for granted. When you get home, thank you, Lord, for a safe trip. Praise him for that. And don't wait until your regular time of devotion and prayer time, but thank him as you experience safety, as you experience it. Thank you, God, for the beautiful sunrise. Thank you for the snow. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Father, for helping me through that difficulty. The book of Psalms is full of praise and thanksgiving, and try opening a psalm sometime in your prayer time and reading that as a prayer. They're very praise. David was so much about praise and thanksgiving. I think we can learn a lot from him. I think I'll read 1 Chronicles 29. First Chronicles 29, verse 10. This is David, example of David praising. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Let's have prayers of thanksgiving and praise. The next letter is R. Prayers of repentance, repenting and confessing our sin should be a part of our prayer life. It's a necessary part of prayer because it's the only way to experience God's forgiveness and salvation. Romans 10. Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When we repent, we can experience God's cleansing by his blood. Repentance is not just when you made the choice to follow Christ. I think it's a daily walk. It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle I think we need to have. We are human. We make mistakes in life. We sin. We need to repent, make it right continually. Prayer is crucial to remaining forgiven and to repent of our failures and shortcomings throughout our lives. Matthew 3:8 says, Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Fruit meet for repentance. And I think repentance will change our direction, change our path in life. Then I think there must be fruits to match that confession, fruits to follow up with our repentance. Think about David again, Psalm 51, if you read that, that's an excellent example of prayer, of repentance, wholehearted repentance, and laying it before God and asking him to cleanse us, to change us, and results in a changed life. And the letter A. Ask. This is the one we probably think most of. Often when we think of prayer, we ask God for things. And Matthew 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I think we need to ask. Maybe it's easy to do. Maybe that's what we do in prayer. Ask for things. Ask God to help us. I think we should. But let's not get confused with what we think we need or want. But rather, let's think about what God thinks we need. What are we asking for? What are we seeking for? What are we knocking for? When we bring a request to God, is it to enhance my reputation, my program, my agenda, or is it for the name of Christ? Is it to seek to further God's kingdom? Asking God in prayer becomes powerful when we can align our appeals to the goals that God has for our lives. You see, what, back there in James, when Elijah prayed that it would stop raining, it wasn't to advance his own personal plan. That wasn't his plan, it was God's plan. It wasn't to retaliate against Ahab. Ahab was his enemy, but it wasn't to do that. But it was aligned to the will of God to promote the kingdom of God and to get people to turn from their wickedness and to return for God, to return to God, and God answered his prayer. And let's remember that our asking should be in humility and awareness of our need, our dependence on him, and not in demand of our wants. Lord, give me this thing, but asking him. Often we Christians spend far more time praying for issues and things that are temporal and far less time praying about spiritual things that are eternal. Asking in prayer is probably not an Amazon wish list, but what are we praying for? It's not wrong to ask for temporal. God gave us that example in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We need his help. We need dependence on him for even that. But God is interested in our practical daily lives. But let's not forget about the spiritual, the far more important, like we talked about in the Sunday school, the eternal. What are some spiritual things that we can ask for in prayer? I thought of a number. To know God better. Ask him for that. Lord, help me to know you better. For protection from evil and Satan. We see that in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. For opportunities and courage and witness. Do you need more courage in that? I do. Lord, help me to be courageous to speak to someone. To be holy and pure. We live in a wicked, unpure, filthy world. We need God's help in being holy and staying pure. To know and understand God's will. Do you want to know that? Ask him, Lord, show me your will. To stand firm in the truth. Do you feel like maybe you can be easily swayed by people's opinions or feelings? Ask God to show you the truth, to stand firm in the truth. For wisdom in raising our children, do you feel like you don't know how to do it? And how do I help this child? How do I train him? Ask God for wisdom to help you in your child training. For salvation of souls, there's many souls out there that need saved. Ask God that souls would be saved, that people could find you, find God. For discernment in making decisions in life, there's many decisions we have to make in life. We need wisdom in discerning how to make decisions. For unity in the church, the church is under attack today. Divisions. We need to pray for unity. God's will be done. The list could go on. I'll let you add more to your list. Spiritual things. Pray for the spiritual, the eternal, for God's kingdom to continue. And I think we should be specific in our prayers and our asking. We can tend to be general. Lord, please bless all the missionaries everywhere. Let's be specific. Lord, pray for so-and-so in Haiti or Bangladesh, if you know them. Be specific. Pray for your brother. Pray for each family of your in your church, each person. Mention names, locations, specific needs. God is interested in the details. And being specific in prayer will allow you to see more clearly when God does answer. Next letter is Y. Yield. And this is the most difficult part of prayer. Yield. Yield our will to our Father and let it with Him. Lord, you know what is best. You know what I need. Your will be done. It's no longer in my control. I turn it over to Him, let it with Him. That's easier said than done. We can pray, but yet it's still there. The struggle is still there, but yield it to Him. Turn it over to Him, let it with Him. Part of yielding is being quiet and listening to Him. Listen to Him speak. Part of prayer is not just doing all the talking, but I think it's taking the time to be quiet and listen. Let it with Him. Listen. What is he speaking to you? Be still and know that I am God. You know, we live in a very noisy, distracting world, much busyness, much activity, things to do, places to go, people to visit, churches to come preach to, and it can be a lot of busyness. Your phone, turn off some notifications, delete some apps, slow down from all the busyness of life. Take time to listen, to hear God speak. We need to take the time and be in the quiet sometimes to hear God speak. Revelation 3:22 says, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Do you have ears? Let them hear. We're going to need to have our ears tuned and our heart tuned to hear God speak. You got to take the time to read Mark 14. Mark 14, verse 32. This was Jesus when he was in the garden before he was crucified. Mark 14:32 says, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit here while I shall pray. And he taketh with them Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." And we have Christ's example of yielding his will to his Father's will. And also the challenge for us to watch and pray. Stay awake as we pray. You can tend to maybe pray and become drowsy, become sleepy. And I was impressed with Jesus' challenge here. Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? When's the last time you prayed for an hour? It was a challenge to me. Do I take enough time to pray, to watch? All right, now I'd like to look at some results of prayer. What happens when we pray? Well, prayer results in fellowship with God. We can have fellowship with him. We can have communion with him. When we pray, we won't always get what we want. But more importantly, our hearts can be changed so that we can get what God wants. Have our hearts changed so that we can get what God wants. Maybe we won't always get what we want, but let's yield so that we can get what God wants. Prayer gives us an opportunity to experience God's miracles. Miracles happen every day. Many of them are a result of prayer. I'm sure you can think of examples of miracles that happened. I thought of the kidnappers that were in Haiti. Many people were praying for them, and a miracle happened. Prayer brings peace and comfort. Philippians 4 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You can experience God's peace. Prayer will increase our faith. When we make time to talk to God, it helps keep our focus on him and on his promises instead of our circumstances. It helps to increase our faith. When we see prayers answered, it increases our faith in him. Increases our trust in God. And prayer gives us wisdom and guidance. When the going gets rough and we don't know what to do, it's very important to remember that we must seek guidance from God. So often I can tend to turn to my own thinking, my own opinion or feeling on a matter, but prayer is a perfect way to welcome God to help us in guidance. James 1:5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." God says we can ask him for wisdom, and he will give it to us liberally. A blessed promise. Just ask God for wisdom, and God will give it to you. Precious promise. And then in closing, I'd like to think about thanking him for answered prayer. Don't forget that. We can praise, we can repent, we can ask, we can yield. And then I think we need to start over at the top again. Thank him. Praise him again. Thank him for answered prayers. Just encourage you to do that. Keep our prayer life active. It's our lifeline to God. And may we be the praying people that God desires of us. And God bless you all. Let's kneel for prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for today. Thank you for the Lord's Day that we can come to your house, worship you. Thank you for this avenue of prayer that we can come to you and come to your throne and bring our needs, our requests, our burdens, our struggles, our victories. Thank you for being our God and our Father, and that you care about us and you love us. Help us to increase our faith. Help us to be the faithful people that you desire of us. Give us wisdom, understanding of your will. Pray that you will bless this congregation here. Bless them with your peace and your presence. And may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.